What's up, Rassholes? You're not going to get the normal intro today. There was a problem with the new equipment where we had a lot of echo. I finally figured it out about 30 minutes into the show. Unfortunately, that is directly in the middle of an interview with the voice of WOW, Stephen Dickey, Women of Wrestling. He was our special guest. Unfortunately, we lost the first couple minutes of the interview. You can definitely catch that on twitch.tv/WrestleMania if you don't mind some echoey audio. Other than that, make sure to tune in this Friday at 9, 8 Central on Axis TV, right after New Japan Pro Wrestling, which is a huge lead-in for them. You can catch Tessa Blanchard's arrival, so it's going to be a great show. So make sure to follow Steven at The Voice of WOW on Twitter, and make sure to stop by and see us on Tuesdays while we record the live stream so you can tell me how terrible the audio sounds so we don't have this problem again. With that, let's get you into the interview with Stephen Dickey.
New Japan is notorious for not having a lot of women's wrestling.
Exactly. So for those fans, say that they have none. I mean, on their they're separate now. So you have people that might want both. I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Yeah, and like I said, on the surface, I was like, well, I don't know if a lot of people are going to want to watch both. And no, I think the fact that New Japan doesn't offer women's wrestling, I think, leaves the door open for there to be a strong women's division to follow it or to share the same space as them. So, and I think that's what WOW can be. And I think we have a strong enough roster where you look at some of the athletes that we've been able to assemble and put together.
That is definitely something I'll talk about next.
Can we, we should have you guys combine, and then it can still just be NJPW. It'd be New Japan plus WOW.
Yeah, I mean,
brother.
It'd be NJP WOW.
How are you broke? You have every good idea.
I know, right? Somebody give me a job. Yeah. I don't make shit for this.
So speaking of your talent, and we'll get to the big old elephant in the room. Now, who do we know people? Who's really broken out from WOW? Who's gone on to do some other things? Who did you love while you were there? Who would you love to see wrestle?
Who would I love to see wrestle
Who have
like
you
a dream
seen?
Match on our roster?
No, I'm sorry. Who have you seen? Who's been there that you've really been? You're really behind. Who are some of the girls that you really have gotten behind?
I
knew it.
Supportive.
As soon as it came out of my mouth.
Not 2019. Mm-hmm. We got to be careful. We do not mean Stephen Dickey is behind these women.
God damn it!
Literally standing there, holding a shovel.
Jesus,
you're making it worse.
Do you want to get buried?
God damn it!
You're still making it worse.
Or do you want to be a champion?
You're friends with this guy, right, Steven?
Oh, yeah. King of Bong style. Yeah,
we all make choices, I guess.
I was at the royal wedding.
That's same.
True.
So
that's
was Fresh. True.
The setup for the royal wedding.
Can we do our interview, guys? Come on.
Sorry, go ahead.
Tell me do we know anyone from WOW? Who did you really dig over the last few years while you've been there? Who's put on great matches? Give us some people to look out for.
So I mean, some of the bigger names that you'll see wrestle with us. I mean, obviously there's Tessa Blanchard.
You know,
everybody knows her name because of Impact right now. Mm-hmm. You know, she had a really solid reign with the Impact Knockouts Championship.
Is there anyone that
really
been...
did a lot to rebuild that brand in a rebuilding phase? So Tessa's really a huge
is that number
name,
one? But... Is that number
one? Is there anybody that's been at that level of fame, whether it was pre?
During
current
or post
WOW?
Oh, we lost him.
Oh.
I think we asked the question you didn't want to answer. It's reconnecting.
Your connection is poor.
Oh, I'm on Wi-Fi. I'll stop doing that.
Oh, shoot.
No, you're fine. I don't know why it did that. Hold on.
It was going pretty well,
did
I
you
thought.
Get Sprint?
Hogan wrestles for us as Fire. She's also on Impact.
Ah, damn it. Hold on, Steven.
Steven, we got bad news.
We have bad news. We lost the connection with you, so we didn't hear anything.
Right after we asked if Tessa's the number one you've had post, pre, or after.
Like, yeah, as far as a level of fame and success, is there anybody that's matched that pre, during, or post WOW?
Has anybody in WOW, is there anybody who's going to have go on from here and be successful? Is that what you're asking?
No. I'm saying to this point, has anyone achieved Tessa Blanchard's level, whether it was during WOW, before WOW coming in, or after they left WOW?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think the other name that people are going to recognize is Santana Garrett.
Yep.
She's been our world champion. She's been a tag team champion with us. She's the first person to hold both belts with WOW.
Wait, so I thought the first tag team women's champions ever were going to be on WWE. I'm confused. There's other tag that women. It's been done before.
It's gonna be the goat and the boss.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Of course,
it's not going to be Ronda in this history. And Sasha.
No, we've had tag team champions with WoW since the first days of WoW.
Does any of that bother you? Does any of that get to you guys? This female revolution, this women's revolution, like the fact that places like you, Ring of Honor, Impact, have had great women's divisions, and well, Impact, I guess, more than anything. But you got like, does that ever get to you guys, or is it just par for the course?
Or do you think it actually might help because it maybe it shines a light on more professional women's wrestling?
If you put that effort in, I would think it might be
actually. Brad, you echo my sentiments on it because I think it's easy to sit there and get frustrated that. WWE gets credit for doing it first, but to be honest, I don't think it's one of those issues of who did it first.
Sure.
I think it's an issue of who's going to do it better. And I think, wow, in the long run, we're going to prove that, in this women's revolution, we've got the best athletes, we've got the best talent, while WWE is getting credit for kind of bringing it to the forefront, which they did because they have the TV Correct. Space, yeah. they have the attention. So, it's not about who did it first. We can all sit there and argue each, have a pissing contest on who did what first. But to be fair, it's all about in the end who's going to do it better. And I think with our roster, I think we've got a potential to blow everybody out of the water.
Remember, Access TV, 9:00, being led in by New Japan Pro Wrestling is WoW.
New Japan will be warming up the crowd.
Exactly, for the main event. So Tessa, I am currently wearing a Tessa Blanchard guy t-shirt right now. I am,
that's right.
Yeah, I'm putting it for the camera real quick. I'm a mega fan. I'm a huge fan of what she does. I think there might be a little mic work that is going to get better. I think a little character work maybe, but in the ring, I'm hard pressed to find someone who has her skill, her mindset, her ability to tell a story. I think getting her is an absolute coup for you guys. And it's what got me really going, okay, that is must see television for me.
Yeah. And for what it's worth too, I mean, they really worked hard to get Tessa involved. I mean, she was somebody that, David wanted, after seeing her and meeting her, he really wanted her. But Selena Majors, the woman who trains the wrestlers for us and, great wrestler in her own right.
Yeah.
She was a huge proponent of Tessa. And to sit there and go to bat for somebody so young, I think Tessa's only 23.
I know. That's what's crazy. Yeah. I think she's getting a lot. And there's that word. Oh, she's getting it all handed to her. The girl does the work. She's there. She knows what she's doing. She's awesome.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
I don't care if you're 23 or 45. If you're good, you're good.
Yes, she really is. And it's not just that she's like you mentioned, she's got the great athleticism, but it also shows that she's got a great mind for the mm-hmm. business. And when you look at, her dad, her stepdad, her grandfather, you look at her family history in the business alone, she's got so many mentors and so many people leading her through her journey in wrestling, that it's obvious to see that where she gets her wrestling acumen from.
And that's not, I mean, people might think, oh, does it really matter? I mean, think about who's leading the industry right now. Tessa is a leading woman on the independents, absolutely. Charlotte Flair, yes. Absolutely a leader in the WWE. You have Cody starting AEW, son of Dusty. You have Randy Orton still doing what he does so well. I mean, that mm-hmm. stuff matters. You grew up around it. You're in the locker rooms. You know what you're doing. And I think you respect it. Maybe not, like, you respect what it's done if you grow up in it even more. And I think it shows with those four especially. Yeah. Like,
oh, absolutely. Yeah. We got Tessa and to a lesser extent, people don't know Santana Garrett's dad was a wrestler who, he recently passed away actually. But he'll be featured in our debut episode on Friday.
That's awesome.
But you're absolutely right. You see these second generation, third generation talents who are out there and really have a mind for the business. And like you said, it really is the fact that they grew up with not just a knowledge, but a respect for it. And I think respect takes you longer. It will take you farther than knowledge really will, because there are a lot of people who know a lot about the wrestling business and know how to entertain people, but they don't respect it as an art, and therefore they really don't have that success.
Well, that's definitely
I would argue that in certain industries, having a lot of both doesn't mean shit.
I don't know what he's talking about. It could be anything. Jeannie Buss, how involved is Jeannie Buss? Is she someone who threw some money at something and kind of said, let's try it? Or is she part of the process?
Genie Bus, yeah. So Genie, obviously, it's like when you look at it's funny that we were talking about All Elite earlier and Tony Khan being involved with All Elite. He's obviously he's got a lot going on. Can you guys still hear me?
Oh yeah, now it's perfect.
Okay, sorry, yeah, yeah. Sorry. No, you're good.
Now so, he's scared because so we dropped him. That's totally justifiable. That fear.
No, you're good. So with like Tony Khan, you look at Tony Khan and how he's going to be a huge integral part of All Elite, but he's also running a soccer club and he's also got a football team to run. So when you look at it, he's got a situation right now where he's doing a lot of big stuff, but so he's not going to be as hands-on with All Elite just for the pure fact that he's got so many other irons in the fire.
Sure.
And now with Genie, you know, she's obviously got other things she's doing. Yeah. She runs
the Lakers. I mean, that's one of the top three franchises in all of sports. That's I mean, big time. I'd say she's the most powerful woman in America.
Does she need anyone for anything?
Yeah. A lawn boy.
Hiring for anything? Now, his father, Shao Kahn.
God damn it.
Does he or does he not look like someone... It was his father, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Does he not look like someone that would challenge you to a race around the world in a hot air balloon?
Oh, do we?
No. I think.
Steven?
I think Steven's no selling the terrible joke.
Did you hear that?
No, I didn't catch that. What was that?
Thank God. Oh, I thought that was a reverse Brother Nero.
You should have said yes.
So Shao Kahn, which is the father of Tony Khan.
Shao Kahn, like from Mortal Kombat.
The great emperor. So you know who I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
So does he or does he not look like a guy who would challenge you to a hot air balloon race around the world?
Oh my God. Are you like Baron Munchausen?
Yeah. God damn it. He's been bringing this up for weeks.
You have 80 days.
He's convinced. Listen, he's not wrong. That is, I just
tell
don't know
me you don't see
just,
him throwing I just bags want him to over stop the telling side. The joke.
I want people to stop reacting to it, so we have to stop here.
Exactly.
You don't see him throwing bags over the side of it, taking off. Ha!
But we're doing serious radio stuff.
I'll be an Albuquerque before you ever get off the ground.
We're talking to a superstar. The million dollar contract just signed. The voice of
the man
WoW
with the golden voice. Although that's not a good nickname because that was what they called the homeless guy.
Oh, that's true. That's true. That's a good point. I'm going to throw one name at you real quick.
The man with the golden voice of WoW.
You say you listen to the show, and I really appreciate that. I understand why you would. It's a great show. There is one woman that I have. It's gotten a little, I mean, it's a little over the top. Jordynne Grace. Have you seen her wrestle much? Jordynne Grace.
Jordynne Grace. Yeah, I really love her work because she's just so different than what exactly we see out of a lot of out of a lot of other women's wrestlers. You know, we've got. You see luchadors, you know, female luchadors, you see technical
Cobra
wrestlers,
Moon.
But it's very, very rare to see somebody as powerful Cobra as her in the ring and to do strength moves like she does. She's really good at what she does.
And that leads me into, so you have seen, I mean, do you have an opinion on intergender wrestling? That it seems to be a topic that keeps coming up over the last 6 months. Do you have any feelings either way on intergender wrestling?
Yes, yeah. I actually have a pretty strong feeling on it, and I'm actually very much against it.
Whatever bathroom Hulk Hogan wants to use, I'm okay with.
Shut his mic off. Let's go ahead, Steven. So you're against it. You don't like it. Is it a man? Oh, go ahead. I'll let you explain.
No. It's more so I think the biggest thing first and foremost is the fact that I think intergender wrestling just promotes, you know, it promotes male and female violence.
Okay.
And I just don't think I don't think it's a good thing to promote. I don't think it's a good thing to, I don't think it's a good thing to get behind. So yeah, unfortunately I think that's the biggest problem I have with it more than anything. Sure. And then, I think, also it's, you know, it's usually like, is it really entertaining to watch that big of a mismatch in the ring sometimes?
Sure. Yeah. So on that note, so we were at Black Label Pro where Ethan Page and Jordynne Grace had a Falls Count Anywhere match.
Yeah.
If you look at them side by side, it was not a mismatch.
And that's I guess the question I'm going to ask is, and I don't want to, we don't have to delve too deep into this, but just the idea that when it's done well by top talent, so when Tessa Blanchard or Jordynne Grace or one of them steps in the ring with a Brian Cage, I do like to watch it. When we saw Ethan Page versus Jordan Grace, I did like it.
The match seemed believable.
But now I've seen a lot that what he's talking about where right. It does feel uneasy when you watch
right.
it.
Right.
This is not what I signed up for.
When Sexy Star has to wrestle the monster Matanza.
It's terrible. Like, it's just not what you want to see.
Right.
I agree with that.
I don't, I mean, but it, in the same sense, if it's, you know, Lucha Underground's a perfect example because they have, you know, wrestlers like Sexy Star and Cobra Moon and Ivelisse, and they put them in positions where it looks believable that they're doing, you know, that the match is believable. It's not guys throwing themselves all over the place because they're, you know, 250 pounds and the women are 120 pounds.
Sure.
Right.
So I think when you put people in a position to be successful, like, you know, Killshot versus Cobra Moon, that match seems believable. Mm-hmm. Because
I think that's more what it is. I think if you watch it and you get uneasy, it's clear to see why. And right. if you watch and go, oh, that's good wrestling, well, look who's in the ring.
Or like Taya, like if Taya has a match against fake Johnny Mundo from Lucha last season, like the match is believable.
Sure. Sure.
What promotes domestic violence more, intergender wrestling or the lunatic fringe wearing a wife beater?
He's just, you're on fire, Brad. So we have a major debate on the show, and we need an expert like you, someone who watches women wrestling on Access TV every Friday night at 9 o'clock, following New Japan Pro Wrestling. Our debate has been for a long time, at least since the rise of my favorite wrestler right now, Becky Lynch. Brad has a tendency to call Ronda Rousey the GOAT.
Eric has a tendency to understand he can like both. And he doesn't have to choose sides. It's not Bloods or Crips.
No, but you're saying she is better than Becky Lynch.
And Tessa Blanchard and Jordan Grace and Charlotte Flair and Asuka.
You guys are cutting out on my end.
Just is Ronda Rousey the greatest women's wrestler of all time
in the
right
ring.
Now?
In the ring.
No.
Let's Steven.
Can we let the expert answer?
He's the expert.
I caught was Ronda Rousey. Sorry.
Okay, everyone shut up. Everyone shut up. Ronda Rousey, is she the greatest in-ring wrestler of all time right now?
Is she the greatest what? I apologize.
In-ring wrestler.
Is she the greatest women's wrestler?
Yes.
I can't say Ronda is, I'm not the biggest Ronda Rousey fan.
Thank you. And all the answer I needed. That's all I needed from you, Stephen Dickey. I just needed someone who knows what they're talking
elaborate.
About. Go ahead, elaborate. Yeah, sure.
No, I say I'm not a big Ronda fan. I'm also not a big Shayna Baszler fan either. I know a lot of people are really high on her.
Absolutely.
But I think I don't really appreciate when people treat wrestling as a backup option.
Mm-hmm. Wait, you're talking about who?
Ronda? That's how Shayna Baszler and Ronda Rousey have been treating like wrestling, to be
honest. I disagree with you strongly on Ronda. I don't know who this who Shayna Baszler is, but Ronda, I do not feel like this was a backup for her. She could have easily have trained, gone back, and gone. She was not like Punk. She could UFC would have used the hell out of her as many times as she wanted. She chose to go to wrestling, I think, because she felt this is the time for me to go after a dream. She's been a pro wrestling fan her entire life. I don't think this was a backup plan like a Lesnar or Shayna Baszler that you spoke of. I don't know who he is. But I feel like with Ronda, this was just someone like all of us who had a dream of being a pro wrestler as a kid, who actually had the physical capabilities to make it happen and took advantage of that opportunity. Because she is showing up every week. She's doing the opening match on Raw. She's doing dark matches on Raw, dark matches after Raw. I feel like if anybody, like, she doesn't seem like the type of person that's going to go into a situation and take something because of her name. I feel like she's that person who wants to earn the respect, a lot like when Michael Jordan went and played minor league baseball.
No, and I think that's a solid argument to make that, you know, she did portray herself as a fan, you know, but with Ronda, you know, she trained for judo, she trained for MMA, she didn't train for, you know, pro wrestling. So when I look at Ronda, I don't look at somebody who wanted to be a wrestler. It seems like she's somebody who wanted to be more of a combat athlete, which is fine. But at the same time,
she wanted to be a star.
Yeah.
How old did she start training for that?
Like four.
Okay, do you think she made that conscious decision, no, or possibly her parents?
Her judo champion mother made that decision.
Okay,
but
so
but let me make my 2 points about Ronda Rousey, because I have two. So, point number one, she left MMA because she got her ass beat twice in a row. Not because she wanted to, you know,
become a wrestler.
Wanted to become a wrestler. She got her ass beat twice in a row. Second, she's not a wrestler. She's not a wrestler.
She does judo in the ring.
Guys, I hate to do this to you, but I apologize. I gotta run.
Dude, we understand.
No, we'd appreciated the time.
We understand. WOW is coming to Access TV 9 o'clock on Friday with the lead-in from New Japan. The main event
of pro wrestling on Access TV Friday nights.
We really thank you for your time, Steven.
Hey, no worries, guys. Thank you. Hopefully we can do this again sometime soon.
Anytime, man.
Ronda's the GOAT.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye. Oh, yeah, I got to hang it up. That's my job.
Okay, so...
You know what would have helped? Is if we would have not gone into so much of that with your 13-minute point, we would have asked him, hey, tell us why to watch WOW this Friday. What's the main event? What are we watching?
I'll run through that here in a minute.
Thank you.
So she... granted, she did leave after two losses. But like I said, I feel like she could have stayed in UFC. Maybe she thought... I've had two losses. I've accomplished basically everything I can in MMA.
The point. My turn. Absolutely. You're right.
She got knocked out twice,
though. After those two losses, that's not what got her off. That's not what got her off.
We do not know what turns Ronda Rousey on in the bedroom as a program. We would like to say in 2019, we do not. We were not referring to
Pokemon.
Just real quick.
Climax.
Just real quick. What got her out of UFC was not the two losses. She could have gone on, I believe, and wrestled or fought more, and she did get her ass beat. That happened. What I'm saying is it was her temper tantrums and her behavior in the interviews and the press conferences and the weigh-ins that made it, once she took those two losses, impossible for her to be found credible again.
But
I contend...
Wait, what do you mean found credible?
So who was her last fight against? It was like Miesha Tate, wasn't it? I think it was Miesha Tate. Like, I'll look it up in a second. But the whole lead up to that fight was after Ronda got knocked out by Holly Holm. I think Miesha beat Holly, and then the fight became Miesha versus Ronda.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole lead up to that was Ronda's big comeback. Ronda's, you know, fighting again. Ronda. Miesha was not mentioned in any of the press shit. Came out and blasted her in the face, mm-hmm. knocked her out.
Okay.
It was attitude, is what I'm saying.
I don't see what she's done wrong in any of these scenarios.
No. Because we're not talking about the right scenario. Like,
okay, but you're painting her as someone.
Attitude,
no,
she went away and took her ball.
She left UFC.
Took her ball and went
home. First of all, as someone who has grown up idolizing and loving Michael Jordan,
mm-hmm.
that's what those type of people who get to those levels, that's how they are. Look at LeBron after he lost to Dallas in the finals. Look at Jordan, who wouldn't speak to his roommate for 2 weeks when he beat him in Monopoly. I mean,
don't
competitive
ever
people that are competitive.
LeBron and Michael Jordan ever again.
I mean, it's a very, very fair comparison.
LeBron's not top 10.
But comparing Ronda to Jordan is fair.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So that's what I'm talking about.
In MMA. Not in wrestling.
We're fighting 2 points. I get where you're coming from.
Ronda in MMA is comparable to Michael Jordan. Ronda in wrestling is not even comparable to fucking Rick Smits.
Here's the example. Here's the best part.
She is a judo athlete performing in a wrestling ring.
Yeah.
That's it.
So what's Brock Lesnar?
A wrestler.
He's a collegiate champion wrestler.
Okay,
like Kurt Angle. Wrestler.
Okay, really? So what about Bray Wyatt?
Wrestler. Grew up in it. Second generation.
But he doesn't do a lot of wrestling in the ring.
Yes, he does.
He runs and jumps people with his stomach. That's one of his big moves.
You mean
I've never seen that in a collegiate match.
What are you talking
about? Yeah. Hold on. He's a great wrestler. He wrestles.
Bray Wyatt.
Wrestles.
Wait, how does Ronda... So
She does a hip toss arm throw. She does an arm bar, and she did a triangle takedown. Those are her, and punches and kicks.
Those are her old moves.
Five moves.
And I'm not saying someone like that isn't a part of wrestling. I get it, but you can't have all that.
You can't have compelling storytelling.
You're putting all your chips into UFC guys, because what you're saying is what we do is incredible, what UFC is. So let's bring in Shayna Baszler, UFC champion, or UFC fighter. She can be a champion. Ronda, UFC girl, she can be a champion. There's a guy, too. Matt Riddle,
yep.
Which I like Matt Riddle, but UFC guy, we're going to push him to the moon.
I actually think of it as, like, WWE to me is almost like Street Fighter. It's where you can have a collection of different fighting styles going up against each other. You can have judo going up against wrestling. You can have wrestling going up against brawling. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of legends who didn't do a lot of technical wrestling.
No, but they were storytellers. Mm-hmm. What story has Ronda Rousey ever told?
Hold.
Well, dude, give her a chance. She's been there a year.
She's not the champion. The GOAT.
That's the point.
In the ring.
She's champion. That's
in the ring.
The point I always go to.
She's been there less than a year. You're calling her the GOAT. She's the champion.
That's the argument. She's not.
She's not.
She will be, maybe. She is
if I can't argue that she's bad because she's only been there a year, you can't argue she's the GOAT because she's been there a year.
I mean, you can't. I mean,
no, you can't.
Do you think Patrick Mahomes is the GOAT?
No.
I do.
He's not the best quarterback in the league right now. That's what you're doing. God. You always like what's new.
Oh, my God.
You like what's new.
Okay. Whoever's 50 touchdowns is the best quarterback.
How many Super
Bowls? Second place was 39.
How many Super Bowls?
About to be one.
Okay.
In his first year starting.
Okay.
First year starting. Led the Chiefs.
So that's one. So you're guaranteeing he's going to win six more?
Oh, probably.
Probably. Again, probably. Why do you want to give it to him right now when he hasn't done it for more than a year?
Who are you putting as the GOAT?
Tom Brady.
I have never seen Brady running away from a linebacker, turn his body, switch the ball from one hand to his non-dominant hand, and throw a perfect 30-yard spiral. Patrick Mahomes does that shit every morning before breakfast.
This is perfect. I mean, you just toss him up, and I'll say, so, you know what I've seen Tom Brady do?
Win
Super Bowls. So are you saying Vince Carter's the greatest basketball player of all time?
Vinatieri won
saying,
a couple.
Are you saying Vince Carter is the greatest basketball player of all time? The GOAT, the all-time greatest.
No, but I'm going to allow it, counselor, but you better be going somewhere with this.
No one could do what Vince Carter could do. He's jumping over people's heads. He's doing underneath,
but he also wasn't winning.
Correct.
Patrick Mahomes is winning.
1 year.
Patrick Mahomes has already been further in the playoffs than Vince Carter ever was. Seriously. I don't think, wait, no, Vince, I'm sorry. Vince Carter made one conference finals.
Who is Mahomes throwing to? Stop it.
No, I just can't think of his
Tyreek
name.
Tyreek Hill.
Damn, that's it.
Who's the other guy?
Travis Kelce.
Who was his running back for most of the year?
Ooh.
Kareem Hunt.
Ooh.
I know. I got you. All I'm saying is,
speaking of wife beating and domestic violence,
we've talked about Mahomes. I think he's great. I give him all the credit in the world. He has done things that I don't get. I wanted to discredit him the whole year. I'm just saying, you're so quick to go to GOAT.
Can we all agree on one GOAT at least? At least one GOAT. I would say the greatest of all time,
Roman Reigns.
Setting you guys off and making you go insane and scream is me. I think I'm the GOAT of that.
I want you to look around this room.
No,
real quick
actually,
and see who's
you're
more
not. You're not, actually. There are two other people in this house that can set me off quicker. You just know
he's
the one.
He's right here.
You just know the one button to push.
You say sometimes it's a joke, sometimes it's not. I want you to honest.
I do think she's one of the best female wrestlers I've ever seen in the ring with the shit that I've seen her do already. And I'm not even joking.
Okay. Better than Asuka.
I'm talking about
are you
move.
Just better than Asuka.
I said one of.
I went specifically.
Okay. The top five.
Yeah.
In order.
Oh, Mount Rushmore, if you will.
Oh, yeah. Mount Rushmore.
Let's go. Mount Rushmore plus one.
For female wrestlers?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or just wrestlers.
You want to go right now or all time? You can do either.
All time female wrestlers.
Okay. He's going to miss two, I think.
I'm going to go, obviously, Ronda, Flair, Lynch, Bayley, Mae Young.
I mean, you missed number one. Wasn't even on your list, so.
I said Mae Young.
Let me see.
Whoever you're going to say did not give birth to a hand, so your argument is invalid.
First of all, Tessa, right now in the ring, is better than Ronda Rousey, and she's 23 years old. Better. The all-time greatest female wrestler is Chyna.
True.
Chyna's the all-time greatest female wrestler. Across the board, not just in-ring.
But man,
she
okay,
was the best
Chyna
in-ring.
Chyna was so full of steroids that she wasn't like a typical female. And I don't know if I...
Okay, I think Trish Stratus is above Ronda.
Trish Stratus is above Ronda. Beth,
ring,
Mickey James,
ring, like
Beth
ring,
Phoenix.
Ring work wise?
Yes.
Well.
And storytelling.
Listen. Well, combined, Trish is better.
Beth just, Phoenix just, is storytelling?
No. Listen. Why are you, I said Beth Phoenix, not him. Hold on.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, because the headphones are throwing you off now. What I'm saying is, I'm saying you got to combine it for this. You can't just do in ring. That's not what we're, like, when you say goat, it's not just in ring.
No, but I'm saying goat of the in ring.
Okay. Okay, so you're done calling her the goat. It's the goat of the in ring.
I've been saying that this whole time.
I understand that, but you say goat.
You just
stop and go. So now from now on, when
Jesus
it's goat,
Christ. Okay.
Now I'm going to give you.
But in-ring. I always but clarify in ring.
But she's also not the best in ring.
I've said she's not been.
Right, and I'm going to give you the best. I'm going to give you the better ones in ring. And it is Beth Phoenix for sure. It is Chyna for sure. It is Lita. Not so much for sure, but I just really dug Lita so much and what she did.
Becky Lynch.
Becky Lynch, Charlotte, Asuka.
Io Shirai.
Io Shirai. I'm not going to say Kairi Sane, but
who's in
names up.
UK.
Tony Storm.
Rhea Ripley. Okay. But, that's a good list.
Who did Tony Storm
Rhea
fight?
Rhea Ripley.
No, in the finals of the
Mae Young. Right?
Do what?
It was Mae Young.
I don't think it was Io Shirai, was it?
Yeah.
Mae Young. Maybe.
Who am I thinking of?
Well, Mae Young was great, too. What, Alondra Blaze.
So hold on,
Alondra
hold on.
Blaze.
Hold on, but I want to ask. Okay,
Medusa.
So you guys have gone, you've listed at least, what, 12 names?
Yeah.
Now let me ask you this. Can we go back and compare their in-ring work 1 year in?
No, we cannot.
That's what I'm saying.
You can't say that. That's not called greatest
First
of all time.
First of all, I like to throw around the term goat.
I know.
We know.
How about this? If you want to say she's had the best debut year of all time in ring, I won't agree with you, but I won't fight it. Like, I get why you would say that.
She's learning.
Victoria had as good of a first year.
Well, as good of a first year in WWE.
Correct. Right.
Because
right.
She wrestled everywhere.
Correct.
Before
correct. Correct. So if you want to go, if you want this statement to be, I think Ronda Rousey
had the greatest WWE
in-ring
debut
year. I won't fully agree.
I cannot tag five caveats on it. And I will never argue with you again. In 2018.
Can't I just say goat and you understand what the hell I'm talking about? That's a lot for me to remember.
We're defining goat. No, we're defining goat from
that's what we're trying to figure out. So I stop yelling
at you. We're defining goat.
You guys can have your definition.
We're going to fight. You're such a son of a bitch.
Who's the goat of pissing you off, huh?
Do we have a lot of comments right now, or am I just reading something else?
My sister.
Just answer the question yes or no.
My sister would like to know, what do we think going forward is going to give other platforms attention on a mass scale?
Wow.
How do they shift the focus from WWE as a fandom?
Okay, well, she didn't say that last phrase, did she?
Friday, 9 o'clock.
How do we, as a fandom, shift the focus from WWE?
We don't. That can't be the goal. I understand what she's saying. I understand what she's asking. That can't be the goal. They are a Goliath.
But how do we?
They are a billion-dollar entertainment industry.
I think the better way to phrase it is, how do we add people that watch the casual Monday Night Raw USA fan?
And to go guys who are famous in the 90s. I'm being serious.
I think that is passe and a little bit, like, I don't know if that works anymore. Here's how you do it.
There's a reason WWE goes that well a lot.
You have a name like Tessa Blanchard on a Friday night show on Access Television. I'm serious.
But wait.
Wrestling, so you're not going to get the casual that way at first.
Thank you.
What you're going to get is guys who go Blanchard.
Like Tully?
Exactly. That's who you get first.
Wait, we're still not talking casual fan.
I know. I'm saying not casual. I'm saying that's
No. I'm saying the casual. Okay, so
can
you're,
I get
not
to
even,
my,
you're not even talking about the casual.
No. I'm saying here's how we get there. Here's how we shift focus. Because casual fans follow the lead. So at WrestleMania, we always hear, you know, one match for us, one match for them, one match for us, one match for them.
Right.
And Brock headlines because Brock headlines.
Because Brock sells
Ronda is in the card first match because she's going to sell. We bring The Rock back for a match instead of CM Punk because he's going to bring viewers in.
Right.
So that is how you do it periodically. But for a place like WOW to sign a woman, like going out and really, because I'm sure it wasn't that easy to sign Tessa Blanchard. I really think that because she's doing pretty good for herself at 23. And that WWE money, I'm sure, has come calling a few times already at 23.
But is it an NXT developmental deal where she's going to be in NXT?
Oh, I don't think so.
I don't think so. But they're doing it with guys who are way better than main event.
If you notice a difference and this women's revolution is fucking awesome. It's giving us more women's wrestling and real wrestling, and it's great. And I am not, there's right. nothing I can say that I don't, I know that they didn't start it, but I love that they're doing it. If you notice the difference in the male stars and female stars, how much push younger people are getting, how much like how much time people that might not be polished are getting, like, I think there's a big difference if you bring in Tessa Blanchard. I won't even say Jordan Grace, even though I want to, but Tessa Blanchard, if you bring her in, she goes straight to the main roster, whereas Ricochet and Adam Cole, it's...
And Johnny Gargano.
And go through who's above them on their card and go who's above them on... Because Tessa Blanchard's instantly better than Tamina. She's right. instantly better than...
Nia Jax.
She's instantly better than... not Natalya in the ring,
Iconics.
But, stop it. With I love
the Iconics.
Okay. That's great. Okay, so I get what you're saying. But here's the reason why I don't automatically put her... There's almost been no... Two women tailored.
No,
they
absolutely.
Are the best on. They're awesome on the mic.
Yeah,
they might be the top. They're the right below Becky on that list. I think on best on the mic.
Yeah, I mean, I think Alexa is actually pretty decent.
Alexa's a badass. She gets nothing from the crowd. There's a sexist crowd. Again, they always boo Stephanie and they don't boo Vince, even though Vince is a piece of shit. So,
but I think that she's probably the top woman on the mic. I think Alexa is.
Alexa?
Yeah, I do.
Better than Becky.
Just how she can control a crowd that she gets
okay.
shit on from. So
you're right. She's doing
they
it
either
from
give
under.
Her
she's working
nothing,
from under. Yeah, she's working from under.
Or they just shit yeah. all over her. Yeah. So I think that as someone who can work that crowd, because Becky, you're going to get the crowd. Mm-hmm. Like they're 100% behind you. It's like mm-hmm. Stone Cold coming out.
Right.
Like you don't have to, it's The Rock. All you have to do is say millions, and you know what you're getting, right?
Sure.
So
Alexa changes it. Alexa has different things. Alexa
right.
has different
she can
promos.
Shut down what chance? She
but
can
what
shut
say,
down.
What I talked about, what I mentioned to Steven a little bit, because I said in ring, Tessa, there is barely a match.
Right.
Charlotte, Becky, Asuka, Tony, I don't know, there's a few, maybe, but she's unbelievable. Her matches are great.
Right.
She needs a lot of work on the mic, but that's the difference between her and Ronda. Ronda comes in, is instantly a champion. You know, almost instantly, and she's not there yet on the mic, and you lose not credibility. You don't lose credibility. She's very credible. You lose the fans like underdog support. Like they, that's why certain.
I don't think she.
And I tell you what, it's very difficult to go far in WWE without the fan support. I mean, just ask Roman Reigns. And John Cena and Brock Lesnar.
Strongly supported by the WWE Universe.
But
by booing.
I know. Jesus Christ. Let the joke just sit there.
No, but it's not a joke because it's a reaction. That's all they care about.
I know, but mine was a joke.
But we were actually having the conversation about the difference between Ronda Rousey
so
and
here's what we're
going
to do real quick. I'm going to say that Otis Dozovich of the Heavy Machinery tag team.
Oh my God.
Is
guy.
Not a sexual predator. If you've watched his character
he's
in NXT.
He's also a point guard for the Dallas Mavericks.
Otis Dozovich?
I'm pretty sure.
I don't even know where you go.
Dokic?
Doncic.
So close.
Oh, Luka Doncic.
Doncic. Doncic. Doncic.
Point guard?
Doncic plays point guard.
I thought he played point forward.
Dude, I mean, he sounds
actually,
like a.
No, he actually.
That name sounds
point.
Like a sinner. Just throwing Doncic. That out there. Yeah.
Yeah, his name automatically.
His name,
yeah.
first name is Luka.
Yeah, no, he's a sinner.
Luka Doncic. Luka? Sounds like the fourth member of Lucha House Party.
Yeah, I'm all in on this guy. So, why didn't you tell me his first name?
Make a good Luka
that
thing.
That was finally the first time. That was the first time. Yeah, that? Yeah, Luka makes a good.
Hold on. Make a good Luka thing.
T-shirt.
Target Strooch. Woo. Ah, damn it. I was trying to say God damn it. Woo, but with
you're
going
to have to re-listen to the episode and write down the shirt ideas. And we're going to get shirts.
Train, take your vitamins, say your racial slurs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So real quick. So Otis,
a real American.
We're not going to get to anything, buddy. You want to talk about something real important, and I do too. And it's Otis Dozovich is not a creep. That line, oh, pretty lady, at the end, came off very creepy in that moment.
Yeah.
And I won't fight anyone
well,
on that. I agree.
It came off almost as bad as, I'm touching Alexa.
I'm touching Alexa.
Norman.
Have I ever told you that story when I took my daughter to Raw?
He was there?
Yeah.
No, I'm touching Alexa guy was there?
No, that's his story. I'm trying to steal it.
You should have. You should have just gone with it.
Did your daughter get a hug from Bailey in a headband?
No, I didn't have good of seats, and she doesn't like Bailey as much anymore. God damn it.
Otis Donkovich.
Oh, so that came off very creepy in that moment, because if you don't know the character, right, if you're first viewing him there, and he was going, ugh, first Otis Dozovich, over the course of NXT history, besides one, maybe one and a half promos, has only said stakes and weights, baby. He's a fun guy. I really hope those two are on Raw, because they will not work on SmackDown. I know tag teams work on SmackDown. They are fun. They are not, like, he does all kinds of cool stuff, but one of his moves is the worm.
The greatest tag team ever is on SmackDown.
The Usos?
No.
The Bar?
No. One of them is the best
pretty
in the world.
Pretty sure Ronda and Bayley are on, or Ronda and Sasha are on Raw.
They're not a tag team.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Did you see the?
They're 1-0.
Did you see the shirt Sasha was wearing during that match? It was the Boss and Hug Connection shirt.
The Boss and what?
Boss Hug. And Hug Connection.
And shirt. Then she hit her with the
Ronda's. They're calling Ronda the Hug.
Or God damn it. Okay, we have. You're gonna give me 10 minutes. It's gonna. I'm getting 10 minutes right now.
So real quick, I was talking about Miz and Shane.
Yes, Miz and Shane. Miz and Shane are the greatest. They're
Shane's birthday celebration tonight on SmackDown.
It's gonna be just gonna be great.
It's gonna be the greatest.
Yeah, it is, baby. Shane O'Crack. Give me the money. Give me the money.
Where
give
are
me
we
money.
Going?
I need $5 for some rock.
By the time we get to WrestleMania, what is Miz doing?
Ooh, I am lightheaded.
I have no idea.
I know, right?
Wrestling Shane for control of SmackDown.
What is he doing?
Miz.
If I have to take a guess at WrestleMania, he will go there to play.
I'm letting the joke sit. You said let the joke sit for a while, so I'm letting the joke sit. Do you have the camera on it? Yes. Our producer now has his.
That show was fire. Well done, King.
Okay, so what we're going to do real quick, and I know this isn't the coolest thing to
you
do.
You ever find Harley Race who murdered that turkey guy?
No. The turkey was here last week. I thought we were done with that.
Vince didn't know.
So real quick, I watched Raw late. I watched it a couple hours after. And Ring of Honor, Honor Reign Supreme was okay. I don't know if you watched much of that, but that was fine.
Cool.
But Monday night, I was looking through here. So I was way behind. I was about two hours behind watching Raw.
Right.
I mean, True Detective came out, so I had to, what do you want to do? Here's what I said. And it was, as soon as Braun was stripped of the match, I said, way behind, but prediction after stripping the match away. Balor gets the shot, beats Brock. Braun is the last person eliminated at the Rumble. He doesn't get the automatic match. Rollins wins the Rumble. You get Balor versus Rollins at Mania. Balor retains. Then maybe Braun wins a chamber match, maybe not. Either way, he builds himself one last time. We've had two or three good Braun builds so far. He is over as hell, and the only person you can put that belt on that doesn't make the crowd go, fuck you, we want Braun, is Balor, in my opinion. That's the only guy. Maybe Rollins. That's it. Those two guys. Until the WWE versus begging for Braun again, then you get Demon versus Braun at Survivor Series, not at SummerSlam, at Survivor Series, where he wins. This gives us a great title win, an unbelievable match at Mania, but not the main event. It gets you a great retention, a six-month run with Braun wrecking house without the belt, and the crowd is okay with it because Balor's the champ, an ability to have the women headline WrestleMania with this program. You still can get the women headlining, a solid title run for a top guy, and eventually the monster wins to set up Roman upon return.
Okay.
Give me your Balor point.
Well, no, hold on. So first I need to ask, is this what you sincerely think will happen or what you would book it?
Here's what I'll say. What Raw did for me last night is something I haven't done in about 2 years, and it's fantasy book out of my, like, I was going crazy last
night.
But
I'm saying, is this what you would want or what you think will happen?
What is what I want to happen. However, I do think it could happen.
Here's why. I was super excited because I watched it late as well, but I saw the notification.
We're going a little late today. I think we're going a little late.
That Balor won. And so I was super happy because I like Balor.
Correct.
But the more I thought of it, here's what I'm worried about. I do not have trust in them, in that company.
Okay.
Because history. So, okay, so let me ask both of you what you think is more plausible based on what you know of WWE. That they are sincerely going to continuously and nonstop just try to do what they think the fans want and give the product that they think the fans want, regardless of whether it goes against their own best, you know, what they think their own best interest would be? Or did Finn Balor just get put into that match so that Braun didn't have to lose to Brock? They'll be basically Survivor Series all over again. Finn has a great match, but Brock wins, and we end up with Braun and Brock at WrestleMania.
I don't think that Finn loses.
That's your answer.
Yeah, I don't think Finn loses. The other side of that is they've already, I mean, they already kind of do like the what the fans want. Like, believe it or not, like the Daniel Bryan WrestleMania run. Like, I mean, do you really believe that
the crowd made that happen?
The crowd made that happen.
Right.
Absolutely not.
It was best for business.
It was absolutely best for business. Mm-hmm. They were setting that up the entire time with the best for business.
Ooh, I actually don't think they were setting it up the whole time. I agree. I think they did it because they realized it was best for business.
Point before, yeah.
I think they saw it finally like, shit, we can't do the other thing, or we're going to our biggest WrestleMania today, our 30th, is going to have a stained legacy. So I think, in a way, the fan support did alter plans. Because originally it was supposed to be Batista, right?
It was Batista and Triple H.
Well, no, it was supposed to be Batista and Orton, I thought.
Well, I think original plans, the thing was it was supposed to be Batista and Triple H, yes.
So, yeah, I do think a little bit was influenced. But with this, I don't know. I just said I...
Wait, hold on. You guys... Can I answer? Can I fucking answer?
I was still in the middle of my answering.
God damn it. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I'm going to go on for a long time, so go ahead.
But also, I don't think they can do the give the fans the show that the fans want 100% of the time, because you're just going to end up exactly in the position.
If you listen to the fans, you're going to be sitting there with them.
Well, the other part of it is, so what do we complain about on Raw? We see the same six matches. Mm-hmm. We see the same 12 people. Mm-hmm. We can book the segments, you know, straight down the line, right? But the, you know, you would get Dolph Ziggler versus Finn Balor because that's a really good match. Mm-hmm. You would get Elias doing a 10-minute bit every week because mm-hmm. it's funny. You know, you would get all the shit that we would start shitting on 3 months from now.
Here's my argument to you, which you're not wrong, obviously, but the argument or the other side is that I think what the audience want is not specific people. They don't want specific matches. They want different. So if they're listening to what the fans want, it's varied.
Okay.
That's what I think. If they were listening to the fans only, and that was the new business model, I don't think it would just be Bryan Styles, Balor, Rollins, and Elias and a couple other guys, because they want different. They want other stuff happening.
Right.
So you, while you're right about what you said, I think that what I'm saying is it can't happen that way.
But
that's what would happen if they were really listening to the fans.
You as the fans.
As the fan. Okay. As the guy running Raw.
So you wouldn't mind if it was Kurt Hawkins versus...
Well, don't use Kurt Hawkins.
So Mojo Rawley versus R-Truth kicking off Raw. You're the fans. You want a varied product. Mm-hmm. You want to see guys that are in the back that aren't being used.
Yes, but let me explain why. Yes, why okay. I'd be happy with it, because as of right now, if you see Apollo Crews, Mojo, Hawkins, the Maharaja, really, we could, neither of us. He was a champion for 7 months.
Oh, I know the name,
Jinder Mahal.
I just wanted to see where you would go,
Jinder Mahal.
When those guys step into a ring, you know they're losing, or if they win, they're cheating. If this varied product happened, where a Mojo Rawley R-Truth match could lead to something, if we started.
I mean, I
believe,
also picked R-Truth, which is a bad pick.
But it's going to lead to a
Mojo
dance.
Mojo Rawley versus Zack Ryder again, or whatever.
It's a blood feud.
God damn it!
You're Seth and Dean.
So yes. So any
Mojo Rawley versus Aaron Rex.
I guess versus Apollo Crews is the best example then. Yeah. So
two guys that are athletic.
My point is, I would want to see that match if I had enough time behind it to believe that Apollo Crews could go somewhere. If Mojo Rawley could go somewhere. If Bobby Roode could go, like, if these things, if I started to believe
former that, tag team champion that would, Bobby Roode,
well, if or current, yeah, current tag
Are
team
they
champion,
current?
Yes,
no,
but there's my point. So my point is
current if, tag team champion.
And by the way, you haven't seen AOP in a while, huh? That's a start and stop or sanity. But my point is, if you see those guys and or girls, whoever, and you have a believable, you can at least suspend the elite. If you can suspend disbelief enough, because you've seen, well, remember 3 months ago when when, so I'm not, I don't want to go far down to those guys, but like, not, below Balor, give me below Dean, give me below
Dolph Ziggler.
Well, okay, so we saw Dolph Ziggler, but he's never been that, okay, God, I don't know how the best example is, but if I see these guys get title shots and one of them wins,
right,
then I start to believe that it could happen for someone else.
Wait, but you've seen that.
Zack Ryder.
Jinder Mahal as world champion.
Zack Ryder.
One day.
Still won.
Few months.
But, well,
Jinder Mahal's your example.
Right. Right.
No, that was a whole different story.
Jinder?
Yeah. Why?
Where did they go right after he won?
But you didn't think of that at first. At first, you were shocked.
I was there. I was shocked.
Right, but...
It made sense on the afterwards.
5 minutes later, you're like, oh, yeah, they're going to India. Mm-hmm. 1.6.
But can't you do that with every decision?
I'm kind of on Brad's side with this a little bit, because you're right. That is the example. But he was a guy who was on the other. He got moved to brands to make that a story thing.
Zack Ryder in the Intercontinental.
It was one day. That was one day.
I know. He just said it. I was doing the Stu Gatz thing.
So maybe you're right. But I just think if I knew that legitimately... 12 people could be world champion, 12 people could be intercontinental champion, 15 people could be U.S. champion. Go, yeah?
1, 2, 3, kid.
That's true.
Excuse me, lightning
but,
kid.
But the other thing is, when he was 6 years old, yeah. The other thing is you have 5 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
You have, what do we figure it out, 64 people mm-hmm. the last time I had this math pulled up. It's like 64 people, you're using 8% of them currently mm-hmm. on your 5 hours of TV. But... to make 12 people believable as world champion, 15 people as intercontinental champion, whatever, you have to tell 12 stories and 15 stories through your matches.
Not if the wrestling is the key. Not if wrestling matters. Not if a guy can come in without a story,
okay,
not get the title shot right away, but win a couple matches in a row to get a title shot.
So in this capacity, I'm going to go to our representative of the fans
mm-hmm.
here. The King of Bong style.
Mm-hmm.
We need a fan.
Hey, hey, what's your... Just turn that one backwards. It's average fan.
Yeah.
So what is your favorite thing about wrestling? What makes you believe a guy could win the world championship?
If he's got it.
Okay, so serious question.
A question for Brad.
For Brad, not old timer. Or
I mean, I don't. But okay, so I actually, I'm a bad example because I don't ever give that much of a shit about titles.
Mm-hmm.
I like characters more and
right
and storytelling.
Yeah,
and not even as much that. It's more
you like Goldust.
I was never actually a huge.
Well, then how,
I like the funny guys.
Okay,
I was a Sandow.
So, but
fan.
But I mean, but that character was good.
I was a Fandow.
But the. The other thing about it is the casual mm-hmm. Monday Night Raw only fan doesn't care about Daniel Bryan versus AJ Styles. They don't care about
name recognition.
Casual
that's what you're looking for.
Watches Monday Night Raw only.
Okay.
You need 12 stories mm-hmm. to keep that fan engaged.
Or name recognition.
Or name recognition. Because if it's not John Cena
mm-hmm.
or Roman Reigns,
or Brock Lesnar, or
Ronda Rousey, or, you know,
Seth
Rollins at this point, they don't care. You couldn't bring Apollo Crews in.
Let me fix it.
Go ahead.
NXT does it so perfectly. And I know the argument is we list our superstars who are going to be there. You paid for a ticket. You want your top people to be there all the time. So I'm gonna tell you something. You're going to see the problem in it, and I'm going to fix that problem too.
Okay.
So the fix is people aren't there every week. People don't wrestle every week. Or if they're there, they do a backstage thing 1 week. They do an interview 1 week, and they wrestle 1 week.
That's fine.
Less. But the argument is, well, I paid for a ticket. I want to see the
dark
guys.
Matches.
That's how you fix it. These guys still wrestle that night.
That's what you do with Apollo Crews and Titus O'Neil.
Because No. That's what you do with Seth Rollins. You do six mans like they do in New Japan where you
Virgil,
put Seth Rollins. You put your three.
Bad News Brown.
The matches they put on Raw.
R-Truth.
The matches they put on Raw right now that are thrown together six women or six man tags or whatever.
Yeah.
Those need to be dark matches. Those are stupid. The faces always win. We don't need those. You need two of the three girls from the Riot Squad tagging against two other girls and the other one gets involved kind of and they win, but the match, it's a match. It's okay. It's not. Can you find someone? Is it Ember Moon this week, or is it Nikki Cross now, or is it Natalya this week, or who is it?
Right.
You do real matches, and then after the show, one before the show, one after the show, you get any superstar. They're there. Any superstar that isn't going to be on the show or wasn't on the show, they wrestle in a four-woman, four-man, eight-man, whatever match.
Right.
That's how you fix that problem, in my opinion. NXT, you see Gargano maybe 3 weeks in a row, then you don't see him for a couple weeks. You see Aleister Black for 4 weeks in a row, don't see him for a little while. Ciampa, the champion, isn't there every week. You don't see Riddle every week. You don't see Keith Lee every week. You don't see, you know, that's how it's fresh. That's how it's awesome.
So the other problem that you're going to have with that is if you take the top, outside of the top seven people that we could think of
on Raw, okay,
performer wise, right? Take those seven away. Who do you have left?
You don't, because you've done this for so many years now. You don't have anyone built.
I mean, you have, but even performance wise, not even character wise.
I'm not fucking kidding you. This is not a joke. Kurt Hawkins can go.
Why don't you flip out of him for that?
Because I'm being serious, because it's a real comment.
Because Kurt Hawkins can wrestle.
Zack Ryder and Apollo Crews.
I'm not being serious. That's even more why he should be flipping out on you.
But I'm also right to an extent.
Yeah. But outside of the top the top seven people that we just talked about, Dolph, Drew McIntyre, John Cena, who's whatever.
What? Yeah, I got you. But, Brock or Cena.
Once you get down past Dolph Ziggler, there's not a lot.
But there is some. And my point is, it's not for everybody. And maybe the Revival never gets over. Right. Maybe Apollo Crews never gets over. But maybe Tyler Breeze never gets over. They can all go, though.
Right.
Breeze can go. Apollo can go. Hawkins can go. Ryder can go.
But you're not going to sell a show on TV.
Correct. But you always have. You still have those seven or eight guys, four or five women. You still have some of them on every show. You don't ever let it be just all those guys.
Okay.
All those girls.
But the ratings?
Uh-huh. Well, we're in the crapper now.
Let's
try something new is all I'm saying.
Okay. Hold on. The last thing you just said is why that won't happen until they go private again, or they're making so much money they tell the investors what to do.
Right. Because
right now telling
investors you're not going to see Roman, you're not going to see Drew, you're not going to see Balor, you're not going to see Raw.
Well, telling them new.
Telling
them doing something new.
Oh.
Telling them you're kicking off the show with.
You don't kick off the show with it, bud, though. You do a normal Raw intro.
Okay, but telling them, you have three spots that you have to have, or four spots that you have to have.
Agreed.
Your top stars.
How many segments do we have on Raw? And I'm including everything. I'm saying backstage. I'm saying interviews. I'm saying matches. I'm saying the Moment of Bliss and the Miz TV. I'm saying all of that. It's 20.
I mean, maybe.
In Raw, it's 20. I think it's 20. I'm saying you can't give those guys a match where Apollo wins for a couple weeks. And he's not on every week, but he beats Jinder 1 week. He beats Mojo 1 week. He beats No Way Jose 1 week.
Okay, but the three guys you just named have zero credibility to build him.
That's how you start. I'm saying that's how you start. Right. So, okay, hey, if you notice that Apollo's won three matches in a row, yeah, but it's against those guys. Well, let's see how he goes against, and then give me your right below, Dolph Ziggler.
Right.
And he beats
Ziggler. Dolph is the guardian between
I think we've talked about that before. I agree. He's the gatekeeper.
Yeah.
Now, when you asked a question 15 minutes ago, I didn't ever answer it. And here's my answer. Yes to both questions. Because,
well, first of all, let's remind the audience about my question.
Because you asked it. You asked, are they going to listen to the fans? Are they going to change everything? And are they going to, or is Balor going to get fed to the dog? Like, is Balor just a one-off match?
Oh, yeah.
So my point was that I didn't know if you're going to be specific, because the first question wasn't specific. And no, I don't think we're going to see them listening to the fans all the time. I don't think we're going to get the fan show we want. Right.
Are they following this supposed formula enough to actually give Balor the championship over Lesnar?
But let me try to do this real quick where I say, to answer your general question, no. I don't think we're going to see it. In spots, we're going to see it. We're going to see it in spots. The Finn Balor question specifically is yes, and here's why. Not just because of who he is, not just because of how over he was, or is, not just because the crowd wants him so bad. One thing happened last night, and you all know, you'll get it when I say it, but one thing happened last night that only happens once every 2 or 3 years.
The John Cena thing?
John Cena put him over. John Cena ate the pin.
I have no clue what you're talking about. I saw Finn Balor standing in the ring alone raising his hands.
I don't get it.
Yeah. I didn't see anyone else on that in that
Juanito?
John Cena. It still means something.
Right. But he took the pin and then
ate the pin. Well, the after thing, if you even take away what he said after, I still think it's just as I think it almost is corny with what he did after.
Hold on.
A little bit.
I would like to point out, if I'm not mistaken, the example of the last time John Cena put someone over, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't that Daniel Bryan? And wasn't that the night that Daniel Bryan beat John Cena for the title and then proceeded to lose that title 30 seconds later
and
to
then
Randy
what
Orton?
And then what happened?
What do you mean, then what
they
happened?
They built a fucking company around him.
Yeah,
the Yes Movement.
But that wasn't organic.
Yes, it fucking was. It came from Cena.
I think originally... let's find out. Let's find out, okay? Here's the scoop. So, I said, you know what? These idiots want that little goat-looking motherfucker who's 5'3 to be their champion. Sure, he'll be champion. Shortest reign in history.
Not the shortest
reign
in history.
Make sure you count it faster than
not
you
sure
did
it's
that
bottom
big
three.
Jap we had in the 90s.
Not sure it's even bottom five.
You know what?
Charlotte's was short. No, Charlotte's wasn't shorter.
We took the title back.
Del Rio was shorter.
In fact, the title that he did grab had my hiv all over it.
Del Rio was shorter. Seth Rollins, one of Seth Rollins' runs.
Don't listen to Vince. Quit being literal, Vince. He just speaks. He's 78.
So, yes.
Also, him not talking was one of the funniest things on that segment with Braun. Yeah. When he's just looking at the card like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I want to see the list of who has John Cena endorsed in that way.
Andre the Giant is the shortest.
Well, of course.
1 minute and 48
Andre
seconds.
Mm-hmm.
That's when he...
Well, that's just when he handed it over.
He handed it to Ted. But it's the shortest title reign.
Del Rio's on there, I'm sure.
Seth Rollins,
minutes. That's what I just said.
Wait, how long was Andre's?
1:48.
That is not the... No. Yeah, Yokozuna's has to be because his was like 12 seconds.
I have the list from WWE.
Okay.
Andre the Giant.
I said Seth Rollins.
1:48. Seth Rollins.
I said Del
minutes.
Rio.
Yokozuna, 2:06.
Oh, you know what? His match was, I think, the shortest.
Yeah.
No,
it wasn't because Bryan's versus Sheamus was probably shorter.
18 seconds.
Yeah.
Bryan and...
Oh, I think actually theirs was because, like, literally, I mean, the 2:06, I think 2 minutes of that 2:06
getting
seconds.
Hogan in the ring.
No, it was Fuji talking.
Yeah.
John Cena Elimination Chamber, 3:33.
With
in 2010.
Was that Edge cashing in?
Because Hogan didn't understand what Fuji meant when he said he wanted to give him a tighter match. He was like, tighter than what?
Batista.
Yeah.
And then Daniel Bryan, 4 minutes
shorter,
and 7 seconds.
It's all longer than Del Rio.
4:07. Yep.
So did Del Rio have the belt before? Am I mistaken then? He didn't win the belt and lose it right away?
Is that the one where...
Dolph.
Like, where Dolph almost lost, like kind of almost lost when he cashed in?
Like I guess you're right. That was actually like a four or five minute match.
Yeah, where because it looked like Del Rio was actually going to win,
right?
At one point,
yeah. So I think that Cena. Okay, so
and what do you want the shortest matches?
No, Cena endorsements. But here's the list off the top of my head. So there's Daniel Bryan, there is CM Punk, there is AJ Styles, there is who did he lose to last year? Roman. And there's someone else.
I don't know. Shout out to What Culture, though, for
having all
this kind list.
Of, yeah.
10 WWE superstars Cena's put over Dolph Ziggler.
Hold on. Because I think I have the best one. This might be the most recent one before Finn Balor. This is from December 19, 2018.
Roman.
John Cena endorses Rob Gronkowski as a future WWE superstar. So go ahead. We have a new goat headed to Raw. The Gronk. The Gronk Goat.
Daniel in 2003 or 13.
Yep. Could they? Will he go? Do you think in WWE he'll go by Rob Gotkowski?
KO.
Yeah.
In 2015.
When he was in fucking NXT, he did that.
Yep.
What's KO?
CM Punk.
Second Universal Champion of all time. What are you talking? Like,
how long was that Universal title ring? How did he get that Universal?
Oh,
title
AJ.
Ring?
I said AJ.
Yeah, but like the most recent one was AJ.
AJ, yeah. No, Roman was the most recent.
No, Rob Gronkowski
was the
most
Roman?
Recent.
Last year.
Was it?
At Survivor Series.
Gronkowski was 3 weeks ago.
TLC?
Yeah, I don't know.
3 to 4 weeks
ago. Gronk.
I got it.
Okay.
Cena says his next goop.
Yep. So my point is, the reason I specifically say, besides me wanting it, besides the fans wanting it, besides the demon being great, because I'll be honest, some of the moves, the sling blade, the kick, the jump, it's all formulaic with him to an extent. So I understand him not being, what? I'm saying beyond.
Yeah, he has the same signature moves that he uses in wrestling.
What I'm saying is,
you perked up like you had an argument for Ronda Rousey.
Not an argument. No. I have a thought though, and I want to ask you your opinion.
Okay, so Demon, all that stuff. It's all marketable. It's all great. It keeps him from AEW. It keeps him because what I saw last night was the best. I'm almost done. What I saw last night was the best Raw I've seen in a long time, or maybe not the best, but at least the most fun. I was engaged. I was digging it. I was going to go to bed after 30 minutes. I wanted to see Braun flip the car and see what happened. And I stayed up for 2 hours. Right. And then so that was the first time in a long time. I think AEW has something to do with it. I think they're finally figuring out some of this new ways they're taking it. I think that all is part of it. But what matters, the number one thing that matters to me, is that Cena was the guy who ate that. Because it's not just Cena in a one-on-one match where he has to lose some of those. It happens. He puts some people over. That was a four-way match. Anyone could have ate that pin. Any one of those guys could have ate that pin.
Who was in it with him? It was
Drew and Baron.
Okay.
And yeah. Baron's your eater. Yeah. I mean, Baron's the guy to eat that pin. Easily. They have history. It makes sense for him to pin Baron.
It makes sense for Baron to lose that match.
Correct.
Just flat out.
And
to
instead, Balor pins Cena. And he didn't pin him clean with his moves. Like, someone else didn't hit a finisher on Cena, if I believe. He hit his finisher and then pinned him.
Yep.
Those are the things that where we think that WWE doesn't pay attention to shit because they don't a lot of times. There's all kinds of storylines they lose. Those who eats pins from your top guys or who top guys giving people pins is something that has been over the history of time has mattered. Is really mattered. And the speech after was cool. I think it could have helped. It could have not. I thought it was a little corny.
I think it was Rock Roman.
Okay. But except Balor's so over with. Right. So,
but I also think it has that same.
Sure. And I'm not so great.
Non-impact.
So absolutely. This much impact.
I think it's more negative than you think.
Okay. So it's negative. But before that happened, because Vince, here's the question or here's the point. Vince didn't think it was negative.
No, but it also wasn't John Cena passing the torch.
What? Well, no, not passing the torch. But no, I'm saying.
But that's what it was supposed to sound like.
Okay. My point is Vince saw that promo, loved that promo, was like, this is going to work. That was the point of that. So we can't think about how we took it because they're not going to book based on how we took it. They're going to book on how they say it went. And what happened was the top guy in the company, maybe the guy that some of them said, some of those people in that office, I think Vince has said the greatest of all time over everybody, over Hogan, over Andre, it's Cena, ate the pin in a four-way match he didn't have to, and then he put him over on the mic, which really matters, which it didn't. So that's my point. I think specifically to Balor, and I'm not saying he's definitely going to win that match. I think he will. I don't think it's a guarantee or by any means that he wins that match. I just think it matters. And I think that Balor is top of the card guy or second to top of the card guy for at least 6 months based on that pin alone, just based on that pin, besides what we wanted. So, no, they're not going to do what we say, what we want. They've decided because we don't know. Fans don't know. But they've decided Balor's the guy. They don't understand why the fans don't see it. You know what I mean? Of course we see it. But according to him, Cena taking that pin – and Cena doing that promo after matters a lot.
I think the pin matters way more than the promo.
But not to Vince. What matters more to Vince?
I mean, honestly, probably the promo.
Okay. Either, but it's a question.
I mean,
for him, it's a question. You don't know which way he thinks.
Right.
Or maybe he thinks those equally. Yeah. So that's my point. If Vince gave you two overs in the 30-second span and had Balor win a match to get into that match.
Right. So he Daniel Bryan'd Raw to get to the Royal Rumble match.
That's what I'm saying. I think that matters. I think what we saw from Finn Balor last night, and dude, I know in my heart, I know they can crush me. I understand that. But time after time, I go back. And time after time, I believe. And time after time, I think it's going to be different. So this is me thinking it's going to be different. This is me going, I'm excited about Raw. I can't wait to watch next week. I fucking can't wait to watch the Rumble. I'm all about the Rumble now. I've always been about it, but now I get that match too. I'm all in. So I think it mattered. So specifically to answer your question, I think Balor wins. I think Braun wrecks shit for a long time. I think it's Balor Rollins at WrestleMania. I think the women headline. I think at SummerSlam, Balor retains as the demon against Drew, maybe.
Yeah.
And I think we get Braun versus Balor at Survivor Series, and Braun becomes your champion at Survivor Series. That's what I think happens.
Okay, so let's throw a small June-sized wrench into your plan.
Mm-hmm.
Who has Money in the Bank?
At that point?
Yeah.
Is that before Mania?
It's in June.
So it's after Mania.
But you also have the rest of the year booked.
Oh, right, right. Well, no, they can hold that until next year. They can hold that until 2019.
It is 2019.
It is. They can hold that to 2020. Or they could do it after Survivor Series. Or it could be the night of Survivor Series. Braun becomes your champion, and who's perfect for that? Owens.
Yeah.
Owens wins your Money in the Bank. And he...
So what happens when he comes back? How does he fit into this whole...
Maybe that's who he fights at SummerSlam. Drew or him or... I don't know.
I mean, but...
Because I think
I'm not
Kevin's...
trying to fuck up your fantasy booking, but...
There's a lot... Dude, I'm...
But I'm also...
If you book further than 1 week,
yeah,
you could
sure.
definitely be like things or Balor could get hurt again, or Drew could get hurt, or right. Braun could get hurt, or Brock. I mean, anything, of course, or someone could leave the company, or they get AEW was all a fake and they come in and they do an invasion. Like anything can happen.
So how much do you think AEW has to do with Finn?
Some, though. Vince giving anyone that power to right. even have some is a big story.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So
let's go back 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
We know Braun can't go. This is Monday night 2 weeks ago.
They know. We don't know.
Okay, but they know Braun can't go okay. at Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
You have to change that match tonight to get a build mm-hmm. going into Rumble.
That's not the reason they pulled him. Braun might be able to go at Rumble. The reason they pulled him is because, according to... insiders, is because Vince felt fans cooled on Braun after he lost to Lesnar at whatever the fuck the last thing was, and so he didn't think it would have the same impact and push.
I mean, I've also seen that he's not cleared. I've also seen that as well.
But we'll know at Rumble if right. he's in the match or not. Actually, we won't know because of that. But
Rumble, you can
if Balor loses pretty easily and Braun's in the match, that probably means they didn't think he could go.
Right.
If Braun has a big story in that match and he is the last one eliminated and Balor wins or maybe there's a DQ or whatever, then I don't think that was the plan. I think the plan was always to go with Balor. Or they did make that call to Balor regardless of if Braun was hurt or not.
But let's go back 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. same situation. Braun's being pulled from the Rumble match for whatever reason.
And we know that 2 weeks ago. Or yep. They know that 2 weeks
right.
ago. Yep.
And you have to book Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you have fighting Brock 2 weeks ago before AEW is announced?
Can you give me a second?
Yeah.
I know we're on a podcast.
But I mean.
So I'm going to run down five names real quick in my head, and then I'm going to go through it. So Drew, Balor would be an option. Rollins, who I said was going to be the guy to take that belt from him at Mania
right.
originally. Not Dean.
Cena's around.
So, and that wouldn't put them past them to make that match to make it the 17-time world champion. So there's four. I think I will say Rollins.
Right, not Finn.
I think he would have been an option. I don't think it would have gone.
So let's say Finn has to beat, who do you beat? Jinder Mahal? Is that who he wrestled mm-hmm. in the first match? He has to beat a person,
mm-hmm.
say it's Jinder, and then compete in a fatal four-way.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way Finn is the guy in the Royal Rumble main event.
I don't understand. I'm sorry.
So 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
0% chance that Raw gets booked the way it does.
Oh, I disagree. A 0% chance. I think it's a 20. I think it's 20.
I don't think Finn wins the main event on Raw 2 weeks ago if it's the same show.
So you're giving it a lot of credit to AEW.
I do because
It's Bullet Club guys. Dude, I see that argument. Totally see that argument. I just disagree. I see your point and I think differently. I think it's just... I think it pushed it maybe quicker, or it made them relook at it, maybe to an extent. If Balor wins, by the way, if Balor wins, then it didn't have anything to do with AEW, in my opinion.
I think it has more to do with AEW.
But they never go that far.
Right, but
they never go that far.
They need to take the focus off of AEW. Because in the non-casual...
Do you think Vince thinks he needs to?
I don't... Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Do you think Vince thinks he needs to?
I think Triple H thinks he needs to.
Do you think Vince thinks he needs to?
I think he's leaning on Triple H on this one, honestly.
Maybe.
Because that show last night was not a Vince show.
No, I know. Go ahead, buddy.
Can I go?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
You guys are adorable.
I know, buddy.
So
I know.
Let me.
Can you?
Let me be the contrarian.
Yeah.
Outside perspective voice, because I feel like
you're the realist. You're gonna be the realist.
Because what you guys don't understand, what you're doing right now between the two of you is exactly what Vince wanted,
mm-hmm.
and he only needs you to keep it up until the Rumble, mm-hmm. and when he breaks your heart, you won't give a fuck because it'll be a great match, and Finn will come out as the demon, and this shows that maybe after this, and AEW, really, do you think Vince gives a fuck about AEW?
No,
They're going after the fan base he doesn't want, which is adult fans, and I feel like Vince, if he's going to look at anyone he can't afford to lose because of booking, he's going to book Braun stronger than he's going to book Finn. Because no matter what Triple H believes in, as long as Vince is alive, it is Vince. And he thinks Balor is shit. He even put it in the promo.
But then putting it in the promo, I think, speaks against it. You disagree.
I feel like this is like...
Who wins at SummerSlam? Or who wins at Royal Rumble?
Oh, I think it's Brock.
Who main events Mania with Brock? Or who wrestles Brock at Mania?
Braun Strowman.
Who wins that match?
I don't know, because I won't know.
Just do it. Braun wins. Who is Braun's next program with? Drew?
Probably returning Roman Reigns.
Returning Roman Reigns that quickly?
Or Drew McIntyre.
You can't put Roman Reigns in this discussion.
No. Get rid of Roman.
Drew McIntyre.
No. So Drew McIntyre, and he beats Drew probably.
I don't know.
Either way. Does Finn ever come back into the picture?
Does Finn ever win the WWE Championship again?
I
mean,
in the next year and a half.
On Raw. Because I think if he goes to SmackDown, he's a champion within 3 months. But yes.
No. I don't think he ever wins the Universal title.
Okay. Okay. So that's how you're booking the rest of the year.
Not how I'm booking.
No.
That's how I think Vince is.
But that's how I want you to. I'm saying.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not giving that fucking midget my belt. A belt is bigger than he is. I need a man. A strong man.
Here's my one other quick point. I think we should get out of here. But here's my one other quick point about it.
I mean, I'm fine to talk about this until 4 o'clock in the morning when I have to go back to work.
Does Balor bring out the demon?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the...
Not at Mania, he doesn't.
Well, no.
He does it Rumble.
Yeah, he does it Rumble, and he does it SummerSlam, not anywhere else.
No.
So the demon's undefeated, right?
No, we figured that out last time, right? No. Damn it! What did you just say before that? Before Vince, you said, "Oh no, oh that sucks so bad."
I talk like this.
Oh, that sucks so bad. It was so great. AEW not mattering to Vince. Oh. Okay, great. I'm going to say something. I want your reaction. I want your instant reaction. Both of you. I want your instant reaction. Vince gave it to Balor one time before. Say something. Anything. Just what?
Okay.
It doesn't matter.
And what did Balor immediately do?
Thank you. That's what I wanted you to say.
It proves Vince right.
Perfect. Balor was gone for a couple, 6 months, 7 months, whatever it was, or 10 months. I don't remember. What's happened since then?
What do you mean?
What's happened with Balor since he came back?
Nothing.
161 matches without getting injured. That's why it's different.
But it doesn't matter.
It does matter. It took 161 matches. It took 161 matches for Vince to go again. Okay, this guy isn't flimsy. He had a bad accident.
Well,
that's what it took.
I don't know, because honestly, I don't think 161 matches is that much.
I'm sorry.
Less than a half year.
Televised matches.
Okay.
He's been in multiple matches a night.
He's been in two and a half years.
Yeah, right. But I don't think.
Well, multiple matches a night, and there was pay-per-views, and yeah.
But still 2 years, roughly.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like you're giving Vince a lot of credit for evolving and changing in a very short amount of time.
No, I don't. I think it's still him. I think an involved Vince would have done it 7 months ago. I think an evolved Vince would have gone, okay, he's back, injuries happen, let's get back on track with our original plan with Balor.
The other thing, the flip side of that is Seth Rollins. Like, he's injured, or ended three careers.
I know.
Injured twice. injured John
missed manias.
Injured John Cena to miss a, a major pay-per-view. And it doesn't, he could do no wrong.
I think that's because that's Paul Levesque.
I don't think Paul has as much pull as we think, boys.
I think he has more than you give him credit.
I know you do. I think he would have enough to keep Rollins in a prominent position because Rollins also is has the body in a way. He's just a short version of what Vince loves. I don't think Vince
that's a good
Finn
point.
The same
that actually,
way.
He's Drew McIntyre because
he looks
shorter.
Like a strong short guy.
Yeah, I get that.
And here's the so
what does Balor's eight pack look like to Vince?
So no matter like fucking empty seats.
Yeah.
So yeah. He just sees an empty chair on each one of those eight packs. So here's the on like Big Show's four pack, he just sees sold out crowds, Wembley Stadium, and so I think Vince, even if that, like, I think Vince would use that Balor thing as an excuse to, like, even if he maybe has some internal things, I think vocally he would tell people like, "Nah, we tried, and what happened? He couldn't do it for longer than so." I just think you guys are giving.
Did you at least take in my point?
100%
That if he was evolved Vince, it would have been 6 months ago that he did this again.
Yeah.
Maybe
but I don't
a year
think
ago.
He's evolved at all. So I
he
think
he would have
this
had the money
all...
in the bank.
My point is, he would have... yes, correct. He would have won the money in the bank.
In fact, I bet you Vince screws Finn Balor.
Could happen.
At the Rumble.
Totally.
Absolutely.
That is even a bigger deal.
Or Braun.
For him.
Or honestly.
Even a bigger deal for him. No, wait, real quick.
You thought I was giving you control of my show?
But Braun could as well.
That's all I wanted to get
Oh, no, I know, but I can't remember now. My contention to you is that what Vince is doing right now, and if he put the belt on him right now, shows no, zero growth from Vince. You're giving him credit. You're giving us, you're saying we're giving him credit. I'm giving him no credit. This is giving him no credit. He's doing the most obvious thing on the planet, finally. That's what I believe.
Okay, that's fair.
That's what, it's like when they let black people play sports. Like, obviously, let's get the best.
Oh, where's freaking out producer guy?
Wait, this isn't. Is that right? Like,
about what?
A bunch of white people played
Except
each other.
Black people.
And then one, and then one guy was like, you know, that guy, we should, like, he can run. Like, what should we do?
By the way,
and they bring him in. Obviously, the guy who brought in Jackie,
the Robinson. Most evolved people on the planet were those New York Yankees who saw him run and were like, no, they should be treated
exactly.
equal.
So, yeah, I think Jackie Robinson, the guy, he's not a fucking hero. He did the most obvious thing on the planet and bring the greatest athlete
okay,
of the time.
Wait, that though? Jackie Robinson is not a fucking
no,
hero?
No, the guy who brought in Jackie Robinson. The guy who brought in Jackie Robinson.
What's his name? And
he's not a hero. He's just a guy who finally did the most obvious thing. And what was the basketball game, the championship
Joe
game,
Winoma?
Where it was five black guys versus five white guys?
Is that movie? Perry Road or...
No, no, it was real life. It happened in real life. And the NCAA championship in like the 40s
or
something.
But they made a movie on it.
Oh,
I'm sure.
Perry Road or some shit like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'm sure there's like nine movies made about that.
So my point is like... Yeah, and they kick their ass because obviously, like, you're not a hero for doing.
Bill Burr has the best joke of all time about the whole like first black whatever team. He's like, it's down to swimming.
Yeah,
he's like, and they always have to have the one, you know, random really racist white guy like, get out of the pool.
The guy
next thing it's gonna be ping pong. They're gonna steal the paddles.
The hero is the guy who puts an African American as a head coach for the first time, or as a CEO of the team for the first time. That's what is the right choice. That's what is the difference.
By the
bringing
way,
an athlete in. You
by
did
the way,
right thing.
You think Vince is gonna go back on his "I don't like small guys as champion" before he's gonna make a black world champion?
I want to argue with you. He had a black world champion.
When?
Six times with The Rock.
Yeah, the Rock Samoan.
Yeah.
In America.
He had that caramel texture.
In America, if you are 5% black, you are black.
Yeah.
I just pretended he was really tan.
Can I give you the other real quick argument?
His name is Dwayne Johnson.
Wasn't Farouk a champion? No, in WCW he was.
Yeah. The guy who's leading the Black Panther group, they're going to make the world champion.
Can I argue?
No, they went with the racist redneck.
Can I argue the point?
I guess he was a racist.
That Vince doesn't have a problem with small champions? I did that a little bit last week.
Okay, but...
What small champions had a long, lengthy run?
Rollins, AJ, Brian.
Different show.
So Vince has nothing to do with SmackDown?
I don't think he has as much to do with SmackDown as does Raw. Like Raw is they tout Raw as the flagship show.
Okay.
They tout Raw went 6-0 at Survivor Series.
And let me ask you if this is not the most perfect thing ever, and I never thought of this until just now. Do you think Vince kind of like is almost intentionally wanting to kind of devalue the WWE championship? Because when they made a new belt, he went Universal Championship. So I think in Vince's mind, that is the title.
Well, it is.
So no, he's like, yeah, fuck yeah. Make Styles the
SmackDown World Champion.
He calls it the SmackDown Champion. He doesn't call it the WWE champion.
The Blue Champion.
Yeah, the Blue Champion.
Who are the two people that Vince has interacted with on storyline levels?
Braun Strowman.
And?
I mean, I guess Finn Balor.
No. No, AJ Styles. He gave the rub to
Kevin
AJ
Owens.
Styles. I'm saying since the new fan takeover, blah blah blah. AJ Styles. I'm just saying. The obviously it's the land of the giants. He loves his 7-footers. He loves his big guys. He would prefer that guy to be the champion. Absolutely. Brock, Braun. He would have put the title on Big Cass, I'm sure. My point is SmackDown is still his.
Oh, they were priming Big Cass.
SmackDown is still his company. I mean, that's still his show. He owns the company. And they've had those little guys. Rollins is small. Bryan was champion on. And Bryan would have been longer run, I think, the second time.
Had he not had to retire. But he had to retire.
Understand?
And what does that do? Gives Vince more ammo to argue against Paul.
I really need to go, but can you pull up the Universal? How do you look it up before you?
I
want everyone that's been champion on Raw, so that would be during the brand split. I'm saying when you had one champion, and he was also the United States
Heavyweight Championship. Was that the Raw one? I think it was.
Okay.
I think Vince looks at the
Dean. Dean was the champion of both companies. Seth was the champion of both companies. Seth had two titles. You know, and Seth,
I think Seth is the exception.
I know
to,
it's really hard
to the argument.
I know. Because I can't argue that. But Dean.
I think anyone from the Shield is.
Okay.
I think all three of them.
Because I mean,
I think this is a good. I think this is an awesome conversation.
Roman's obviously the big guy from the group. As far as you know, in Vince's eyes,
yeah,
he's
totally,
the big guy.
Totally.
But you're gonna sell a million Seth freaking Rollins shirts. You're gonna sell a million lunatic fringe dumb demon Ambrose. Wife beaters or whatever, but
they still sell shirts.
No, they're wife beaters. All of them are wife beaters. But I don't think the Shield counts in this conversation.
Okay.
Just
man, then I understand. I'm just
I think
Finn was your first Universal Champion. I know he got hurt. It took him that long to.
Finn wins. I think by the end of the year, Drew McIntyre has won the championship at some point.
I know. I don't. It's hard for me to book a year where he's not champion this year. It's really hard for me to figure that out.
I honestly don't think Brock is back past WrestleMania this year.
I don't
year.
Think he gets to WrestleMania.
Right. I don't think we see him after WrestleMania.
I don't think we see him at WrestleMania.
I mean, that's very true. But, I mean, that's my hard cutoff.
Real quick, because I want to be done.
My hard cutoff happens every time I see Drew McIntyre. That's a man.
What does Rollins do if he's not wrestling Balor at WrestleMania or Brock?
Massage these nuts.
Dean.
You think?
You get the actual blow-off match between Dean and...
And it's not for a championship.
And it's not for a championship.
Yeah.
It's literally just the feud. Because now you get Seth chasing
Bobby
and Dean ruining that.
Yeah.
Over and over and over again.
Okay. I can see that too.
And it turns into the never you... Anyone but you.
Remember it. My fantasy booking, what I'm saying is... It's what I absolutely want to see happen. I think it'd be great television. Also, Nikki Cross being the woman to beat Ronda Rousey, setting up our four horsewomen versus four horsewomen. Ronda has to lose that title to get to the four horsewomen versus four horsewomen.
She has to lose the title eventually anyway. She can't hold it forever.
She doesn't have to do it.
So what I'm saying is my fantasy booking is what I want to happen, and I'm telling you in my mind right now, being the mark that I am, a total wrestling mark, I am saying that I think it's better than a 50-50 chance that what I said to some extent, not exactly, but to what I said last night on Twitter, can happen. Not exactly. I'm sure it's not going to be exactly like that, but I think you see a Balor championship. I think you see a Rollins, a Balor defense against Rollins. I think you see a Balor defense against Drew or Kevin, either one of those two, because that was a great point. And I think you see Braun beating Finn eventually for that title. That's what I think. Also, I can see Drew beating Finn for that title. Maybe it's not a long run for Finn.
So
but I think Finn is a champion this year. I think Drew's a champion this year. And I think Braun's a champion this year.
The WWE World Heavyweight Championship, I believe, is the SmackDown title is what it's technically called.
Okay.
The last person to hold it was Randy Orton before it became the SmackDown
was
title.
Was it? I thought Dean brought it over.
December 15th, 2013.
Yeah, see, I think in between there was Dean's championship. Gene was the champion that they brought to SmackDown. He was drafted as champion. There was only one champion at the time. He was drafted to SmackDown as the champion.
Randy Orton defeated John Cena to unify the World Heavyweight Championship with the WWE Championship. The World Heavyweight Championship was retired, okay, and the WWE Championship became the WWE World Heavyweight Championship.
I'm telling you, though, I know Dean was drafted as the...
what are we looking for, the SmackDown title?
Give me Dean as world champion. That'll get me on this roll. Man, I got to get home. I got a steak cooking at home.
Just talk for a minute.
This week, if you're still listening, and we'll put it out on Twitter, if you are a fan of this show and you would like to see some great stand-up comedy at a terrible venue, I have some tickets for you. My little sister, Anna Samari, my hero.
She's doing comedy in Stu's Dungeon?
Nope. I'd rather. I think we'd have a better show here. And the hilarious Sean Leary will be with him. And I believe David Brooks, your suggestion.
I believe Lexi Madrid as well.
All right. That's a hell of a show. I have some extra tickets. If you can afford to buy your own tickets and you want to support, I'd love that. Thank you. If you want to support but you don't really have the extra cash to throw around, I have extra tickets. I will put that out on Twitter. I'd love to see you. I'd love to see the support Friday or Saturday this week. And you have an announcement too, Brad.
I do.
I thought you did. About a previous recording and a future
recording. Oh, so we're going to...
You need a manager.
We're going to... There'll be more details later, but just know I'm going to be re-recording my album. I guess on that note, I could have said. and the album I did record...
Woo.
What
Tang.
You could call of
Woo.
It. That's Tang. Right. It's getting
Woo.
The Wu-Tang Tang. Treatment.
Woo.
We are going Tang. To create one physical copy of the album and then auction it off.
I love it.
I expect
love
to
it.
Exceed the $1 million Wu-Tang made.
Oh, I don't.
Really?
Oh, you're being...
I'm going to try to get that AIDS guy to buy it again.
He can own both these.
Yeah. Like, dude, how would you be like...
So that? You can't put the Bill Murray clause in. What clause can you put? Who can steal it? Who's allowed to steal it?
No, you can do whatever you want with it once you buy it.
No, remember, though, it was... couldn't put it online. It was part of the contract.
Oh no, we're not doing all that.
No,
I know.
Please put it on.
The rights are yours.
But I'm giving you a joke set up that you can try to make something funny out of real quick. I'm saying Bill Murray was allowed to steal that album. That was the only person allowed to steal that album. If Bill Murray stole it, he could give it back.
Harley
to
Race. Thing
and they could, okay, perfect. It's Harley Race can steal the album.
Dean did.
I was thinking a comedian, but yeah, I gotcha.
Dean was drafted to SmackDown
as champion. Okay, so what's
he
that
was
belt?
The WWE champion.
So give it's me that the, list is what I want.
I just gave it to you.
You said Randy Orton was the last one.
Hold on.
Well, didn't you?
Shut up.
What am I missing? What did I do wrong?
I'm going. Hold on. I don't have the list.
Okay.
List
okay.
of WWE champions. No, got it. Hold on.
Okay.
Scroll down. Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles, Jinder Mahal, Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt, John Cena, AJ Styles, Dean Ambrose,
okay,
Seth Rollins.
Stop. So Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, what was before Seth Rollins?
Roman Reigns.
Who was before Roman
Triple
Reigns?
Triple H.
Who was before Triple H?
Roman Reigns.
Before Roman Reigns.
Sheamus.
Before Sheamus.
Roman Reigns.
Just give me the list. I just want the list.
Vacated. Seth Rollins. Brock Lesnar. John Cena. Vacated. Daniel Bryan. Randy Orton. Vacated. Daniel Bryan. Randy Orton. Daniel Bryan. John Cena. The Rock. Okay. CM Punk. I'm back to November 2011.
Great. No, that's what I was wrong. I can't come up with a list then. If you're not letting me count SmackDown.
Are you looking for a small guy?
Yeah, I was looking for small guys.
Rey Mysterio in 2011. Doesn't count.
Well, and Daniel Bryan.
I don't think Daniel... I mean,
I'm just.
I know I keep saying people don't count, but like.
I know that. So why do superstars not count regardless of size? Who's the bad big guy on there? Who didn't deserve it on there? I'm sure there's a name, but who? I'm saying you can't go that far back. I'm saying after Daniel
Kali.
Bryan's first title. What's that?
Kali.
After Daniel Bryan's first title?
Yeah. Where's the guy that says Vince only gave it to him because he's big? Show me the guy that on that list.
Brock Lesnar.
Oh, I won't argue that either. So that's okay.
But that's going to be the majority of the time.
Sure. That's fine. Hold on. There's another guy I thought of too. Triple H.
Triple H.
Yeah.
Sheamus.
Sheamus? You saying Sheamus is what? Why?
Oh yeah.
Sheamus is like 6'7".
Yeah, dude.
No. I'm saying. So you're saying he didn't deserve a championship?
No.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know, man.
I don't remember what his character was like then.
He deserved
to, what is it, cash in at the end of Survivor Series against Roman Reigns?
Well, first of all, a cash-in's a cash-in. So the list is whoever is a cash-in. Like, so it's totally believable if he won the cash-in. I'm just saying, okay, so Sheamus is maybe the answer, and Brock is your answer. Mm-hmm. I don't have a huge argument, but my point is, it's not like he just finds a big guy and puts the title on him.
No.
Bray Wyatt didn't deserve a fucking
Bray
title
Wyatt deserved it more than anyone. That's the number one guy who deserved a title at that time. You're out of your mind.
Isn't that the same year they had the stupid, like, haunted house match?
After that.
Yeah, because it was before that title, I believe.
Yes.
Maybe not.
No.
It was before that, because that was at Elimination Chamber.
Whatever. Braun winning that, or Bray winning that Elimination Chamber was the highlight of that year for me.
What if it's not, if this was any other pay-per-view, even a SummerSlam, I would say I would be more inclined to buy in with you. But we're talking about setting up the biggest event of the mm-hmm. year, the biggest match of the biggest event of the mm-hmm. year. I don't see Vince trusting Finn Balor with that.
I understand your argument, and I'm not saying you're wrong.
The only reason is just because literally everything else in history
totally
has directed that.
Absolutely.
Way.
I'm saying
this would be,
I'm being a mark, and I will be proven wrong. That's fine.
Unprecedented.
That was the biggest thing in the year for you, by the way. I'm just looking at that year.
The thing that made me happiest that year? Yes. I think so.
Okay.
Hit me with some other stuff.
AJ Styles versus Shinsuke versus Sami Zayn versus Dolph Ziggler versus Baron Corbin versus Kevin Owens.
Nope. It was a six-pack match for a championship that was dumb. AJ was going to win. Obviously, it was. Now, what was SummerSlam that year?
Shane and Kevin Owens. SummerSlam's main event was Brock versus Roman versus Samoa Joe versus Braun.
That was awesome. It made me the happiest. I'm saying the happiest moment I had was coming home. This is what happened. I came home from work. I had, the network, and when you hit play, you can't fast forward if it's still on. And I had said, I took my phone away. I didn't look at anything. I was coming home to watch just that match before bed. I was so excited to watch that match. I hit fast forward like an idiot after the first match and a half or something like that.
And it jumped to live.
Jumped right to Braun, or right to Bray. And Cena just got pinned. I think it was just him and AJ left. So No. That's right. One time I skipped it. Then I tried to go back and it showed me Bray holding up the title. Mm-hmm. I was so fucking mad. Mm-hmm. But watching that match, I've watched that match 3 or 4 times. I think Bray is awesome. I think his character is tough in this day and age to pull off. Yeah. I think there's definitely sore spots and slow spots with it. It gets a little old. I think that's why he's off TV for this long. I think that's a great idea. I think it lets him do anything he wants when he comes back. I think it's awesome. I think that guy deserved a title at that time. I was livid that Randy won it back at WrestleMania.
So building up your guys, which is the whole crux of this whole conversation, what had he done to be built up to even be in that match?
Well, dude, character work and Cena rivalry. He had a Cena rivalry. He had a
what's his pay-per-view win-loss record?
Oh, it's bad. It's bad. You're right.
It's like -4,000.
Totally. Heels lose a lot.
But he
was a heel. Don't get.
He had like a ridiculously unprecedented losing streak.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But listen, dude,
to the fans in the arena, he's not a heel. He's not getting booed when he comes out.
After the lights go, I think he was getting booed. And also, remember to Vince. It's not what the fans in the crowd think. It's what Vince thinks. And Vince was booking up against his superstar hero, Cena and Reigns. Both of them.
Okay.
That shit got me off.
Bray had a match against John Cena on WrestleMania. End of story. Doesn't matter. I don't care. He had the Cena match.
But what had he done leading up to that?
That was before that. So I don't care. Rusev. It doesn't have to be a week
leading
before.
Up to.
Yes, exactly.
And look at where Rusev is.
No, Rusev didn't have one at Mania.
Yeah, he did.
No, he had
when he came out 30, in the fl- he came out in a tank or
and
some
he lost,
shit.
Remember?
WrestleMania 30.
Like, oh, this is going to be Cena putting over
31.
Rusev.
31.
Either way.
But he came out in a tank.
Yeah.
It was for the US Championship.
No, it was 30.
No, it wasn't. 30 was Bray versus John Cena.
No, 30 wasn't Bray involved in the Shield
31.
Wyatt family thing?
No.
It was 31.
Yeah. Bray versus Cena was 30. There's only 5 matches on that card. There was Bryan versus Triple H. There was Cena versus Bray.
Who's the other person we were talking about?
I don't remember.
Not Bray.
Rusev?
Rusev.
Yeah, but hold on. Oh, 31 was Rusev.
Rusev came. It was 31 with Rusev.
Yeah, outside. When everyone thought it was going to be the worst WrestleMania ever and Seth Rollins
got Sting match?
Listen, I'll give you 30. It opened with Daniel Bryan versus Triple H. The other matches were was definitely Cena versus Cena versus what's Bray. There was the triple threat to end it. There was only five matches. There was the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, which Cesaro won
on 30
and 30. Yeah, Cesaro won and 30.
And what's the other huge, the biggest match of all time?
Daniel Bryan.
Okay, the other biggest match on that card.
Oh, Rock Cena.
No, God damn it.
Hogan Giant.
Undertaker losing Savage to Rock. Those are only five matches on that card, I think.
I think, but 31, let me go to 30.
You know what I miss? I wish they would do again is the guy from the crowd angle. Like they did with Santino Marella where they gave him the Intercontinental title on the first night. I have not seen that in so long.
Pre-show was Usos.
Oh, sorry, I wasn't counting.
Usos, Los Matadores, Real Americans, which was
Cesaro
and Jack Swagger.
To get into the
Fatal 4-Way for the Tag Team Championship.
Oh, okay.
No. It was a Fatal 4-Way Tag Team match, and then Ryback-Axel.
Just give me the main event, please. Or not the main event, the main card.
Daniel versus Triple H.
Right.
Shield versus Kane and the New Age Outlaws.
Okay. Sorry, I missed that one.
Cesaro wins the Battle Royal.
I nailed that.
John Cena versus Bray.
Nailed it.
Brock Lesnar versus Undertaker. AJ defeated...
Jericho? AJ Styles? Oh, AJ Lee.
AJ Lee.
Yeah.
Defeated Oksana, Alicia Fox, Brie Bella, Cameron, Emma, Eva Marie, Layla, Naomi, Natalia, Nikki Bella.
It was what's her name's Vicky Guerrero challenge or something.
Rosa Mendez, Summer Rae, and Tamina Snuka by submission.
Yeah,
she submitted all of them in the same
one. It was one. Yeah.
Nope. It's a defeated all of them by submission. Way to go, Wikipedia. And then Daniel Bryan defeated
so seven matches. Sorry, there was
seven,
but. I think two of them were under 5 minutes or something like that, or 6 minutes.
Shortest match on the card was the 6-man tag match for 2 minutes and 56 seconds. That was the Shield match.
Yeah.
And then the next shortest was the women's match, which was 7 minutes.
I was close.
And then everything else was 13 plus. Yes.
So I'm saying we had five real matches.
Right.
That's all I'm saying. When you have, there's five real matches on the card.
Daniel Bryan wrestled for almost an hour that night.
Yeah. Five matches on the real card. Bryan's your star in the two that match, you know, the early and the championship match. And the other one-on-one match that we had that wasn't the fucking streak was Bray and Cena. That matters. That was something. That was a big deal.
Yeah, it really launched Bray's career.
He won a title.
7 years later.
It was a year and a half.
And he held it for less than a month.
Wait,
he
no,
won
no,
a title.
No. It was more than that.
What?
Didn't Bray just win the title like 2 years ago?
Yeah.
So it's 3 years after that.
Okay. He also had major
held
angles.
It for 2.5 weeks.
By the way, there's so much.
You're not wrong. How many people have been champ? How many people haven't been champion?
Okay.
Scott Hall never been a champion. Mr. Perfect never been a champion.
Okay. I would argue that both of them deserve it more than Bray Wyatt.
Oh, okay. Totally. But my point is, Bray's a champion.
Okay. But again,
what are we arguing here? I'm saying that the guy had major. Bray had
my question to you. Was leading up to that, what had they done story-wise to convince the casual fan that he should be their champion?
Okay, well, I didn't realize that was the argument.
Going back to that conversation.
Okay, what I'm saying is, as a fan of Bray Wyatt, as a guy who I believed in because he had major programs with John Cena and Roman Reigns in the last 3 years.
And I love Bray Wyatt.
Which matters. I think those matter. He had those major programs, and he won a title. And he came into WrestleMania as a champion. I know he lost. I know it was 2.5 weeks. He walked into WrestleMania as a world champion.
But
that matters.
Previous to winning,
What
had he done?
Had programs with John Cena and Roman Reigns 3 years before that.
What had they done to build him as an actual threat going into that match?
The insanity things that he could do, the pain. Dude, you're asking me a question. I'm giving you an answer. That he was credible to hurt people. And in an elimination chamber, he hurt people. And he lost it in 2.5 weeks. That speaks more to my point than yours. He wasn't a credible champion. He wasn't. He wasn't billed as a credible champion. He won a 6-way match where violence was encouraged. He didn't win a 1-on-1 match. He didn't win a triple threat. He won a 6-way in a cage. That's how he got his championship. When he had to fight 1-on-1, he lost his championship. So he wasn't credible. All I'm saying, as a fan, going into that match, I had picked him to win, and I was right. He won that match. I thought he'd go a little longer, but he didn't. I was happy when he won it. As a fighter in a cage, I can believe that Bray Wyatt can win. In a six-way match where everything's going on and other guys are hitting finishers, I believe Bray can win that match. Going into that match, if he had a one-on-one title shot at Elimination Chamber against anybody who would have been champion, I wouldn't have thought it credible. I think he can credibly win a mayhem match.
Okay, fair enough.
Because of his destruction over the last 2 or 3 years. That's And he was beating Randy Orton at that time. That's what he was doing at the time. Wasn't he beating Randy Orton before that?
Probably.
Because he got Randy Orton on his side after that by mentally breaking him. So credibility-wise, he was beating Randy Orton. And he was also the third man left in the Royal Rumble that year.
I don't think that.
Oh, I think it does. I think it matters.
Santino Marella was the last eliminated from a Royal Rumble.
Those aren't the same thing. They're not. How that Rumble worked out, the Rumble that had all
Vince, yeah, you know, be on his side, like
Vince, you know, McMahon has won a Royal Rumble.
Combination of things.
That Rumble, how was it booked? How was it built and booked? No filler, all stars: Undertaker, Brock, Goldberg, Cena. Who else is in that match? Randy, who won? Roman Reigns. It was all studs in that match. No filler. I mean, I'm sure there was. AJ debuted. Oh, no, AJ didn't debut. But I'm just saying that match, being third in that match, it clearly mattered because they gave him the title after that.
What position did he come out in?
I don't know. I know it was lower than 27.
Well.
You know what? I bet you was in the teens.
Okay.
I'd like to look that up because he had his whole family at the time, right?
What Royal Rumble was that?
2 years ago. Well, let's look up the one Randy won. I mean,
Rumble.
It's almost 9 o'clock. I really have to go.
We can put a pin in this.
No, I want to do it forever. This is the most fun I've had on the show. Too. That's rare.
You're as broke as I am.
Yeah. I'm now at 12%.
When he was
sucked them dicks.
I should have charged this the whole time. I'm an idiot.
He was eliminated fifth left in the Rumble in 2016. Triple H won that one.
Okay, then it's not that one. 2017.
Okay.
Yeah, that would have been 2 ago. That's 2019. That would have been 2 ago.
Technically, 2019 hasn't happened. 2 Royal Rumbles ago was 2016.
No. One was last year. Second one was the year before that.
Nope.
Yes, that's how. What? 2 Rumbles ago.
Okay, so yeah, here. He entered at 21.
21.
So.
Listen, I agree. I know what you're saying. I'm not saying the Rumble matters all the time and what happens in it matters all the time. I'm saying the year that they were building it as all the stars, all the big guys.
I mean,
your Undertakers, your Goldbergs.
Ty Dillinger was in it. 2 years ago, Ty Dillinger.
Not I know.
Current Ty Dillinger.
So hot as he's ever been and never got hotter than that.
Big Cass was in it. Mojo Rawley was in it. Jack Gallagher was in it.
Okay, keep going. Who else was in it?
You said all stars. Those are not all stars.
So you
stars.
Got one 205 guy in. You got one debuting NXT guy in, and you have Mojo Rawley, who I think they believed in it. I think they were going to do something with.
All of the New Day, which...
Yeah.
0% chance they're ever winning that match.
Okay. Yes.
Apollo Crews.
24 of those guys.
Enzo.
If they listen.
To be fair, he did say stars, not challenger, like legit challenger.
Yeah. How many matches have you gone into Royal Rumbles knowing there's basically two and sometimes one where you know who's going to win?
I mean...
Most of them, right? Who did you know Randy was going to win that one? Now, did I pick Randy Orton? Yes, I did. But that's besides the point.
But what you said was it was no.
I didn't say no filler.
You said no filler.
You're right. No, I messed up.
Luke Harper.
No, not because that works into the storyline.
Enzo.
Who was hot? Enzo and Big Cass were hot as shit.
Doesn't matter.
Yes, it does.
Those are filler guys. They're not viable in the match. They're not.
We're on a different definition of the word. I'm not saying there was 26 guys who could win the match. I'm saying there was 26 real guys.
James Ellsworth was in the Royal Rumble.
So you had a comedy. So you had a 205 Live guy to have one. You had an NXT call-up, and you had a comedy guy.
And you had 4 tag teams.
Okay, right. I'm not saying Okay. Go down that list and tell me who could win a Royal Rumble.
Who could win a Royal Rumble?
Who could win a Royal Rumble?
Also, you had Kalisto, by the way.
Okay, well... My filler comment was wrong. I am wrong about that.
So Braun Strowman, Cesaro, I believe him and Sheamus both could. So I'll give you those guys.
I mean, Sheamus has, right? Yeah.
And what's his name has won the Andre the Giant majig. Dean Ambrose.
Last thing.
Dolph, Brock, Goldberg, I guess.
Sure.
The Miz.
You got to say Undertaker. I really think you have to say Undertaker.
I'm not to him yet.
Oh, okay.
Undertaker, Jericho, Bray, Roman, Randy. So like,
so it's 14 guys
out of 30.
Right. Go through any other, not any other. I'm sure there's another one like this. But if you go through 10 Rumbles, I bet you you can count on one hand who could viably win. And if you go year by year, you didn't know who out of those guys. So it was 14 guys. You didn't think they could all win that year. Probably you don't think the Undertaker's going to win that year.
No.
I bet you there's more than five you think could have won that match, though.
I wouldn't put Bray Wyatt in that list.
Okay. Okay. That I would, but you wouldn't. That's okay. My point is, him coming third in that Rumble is different than him coming in third in other Rumbles. That's my only point. I think it matters. So it's some build, and then you put him in a chaos match, and he wins the chaos match, and then he loses a one-on-one competition against a real champion.
All right. We'll go forever, so let's wrap up.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, we're done. That was a marathon. What do we normally say? Do we still do the knowledge talent?
No.
What do we do at the end? I don't remember.
Okay, bye.
No, don't we do something?
No. Mm-mm. No, just say bye to the people.
We used to fire people, but... Oh.
How about it, guys?
The visual gag for the end of the podcast? Perfect.
No, I do my thing.
He does the thing.
Yeah. Later.